we're putting a spotlight on the Ice Age National Scenic Trail and the work of the Ice Age Trail Alliance on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Stretches for 1,200 miles around Wisconsin, connecting Door County to the south central part of our state, back up to the North Woods and then west to Minnesota. The trail is a labor of love. More than 520 volunteers pitched in about 13,000 volunteer service hours in 2021 alone. Ice Age Trail Alliance says without volunteers, a trail would be just another line on a map. Join in on this national treasure, 800-642-1234. Debbie Krogwald is volunteer coordinator of the Portage Wapaka County chapter of the Ice Age Trail Alliance. Debbie, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Oh, thank you. It's wonderful to be with you today.
Well, how did you become a volunteer? What drew you to the Ice Age Trail back in the 90s?
Well, I had just moved up to the Wapaka area to take on the recycling coordinator position with Wapaka County. And I moved here from being in Colorado for a few years, and I did a lot of hiking out there. And so the first thing that I wanted to look for would be trails around this area and getting out and walking. And so the department that I worked with, they were very involved with the Ice Age Trail and finding out that it did go through Wapaka and Portage County. So I became involved with the our chapter at that time.
And I would imagine you became part of just this community of like-minded Wisconsinites. What was it like to meet the people behind the trail?
Oh, it was great. I being around like-minded people and, you know, people that really loved what they did, being out on the trail, taking care of the trail, and then learning about the Wisconsin glaciation and all the formations left behind by the glacier. It's just so beautiful, and it's so peaceful. And when you're out there, you know, you may encounter a few people here or there, but a lot of times you're out there by yourself, and it's nice.
Debbie, what role do volunteers have in the upkeep and the viability of this trail?
Well, I know that, the Alliance has said that without the volunteers, it would just be on the map. The volunteers that are actually out there on the ground maintaining the trail, because obviously, you know, you will have grass growing, you will have trees that'll, you know, be sending, you know, more limbs out, you know, crossing the trail, and you'll have brambles coming in and encroaching on the trail. And so without the volunteers being out there to, you know, keep, you know, the trail path and the tread in a shape that is enjoyable for walking. And then also, you know, part of not only just trail maintenance, but they have guided hikes and fundraisers. And there's just a lot of outreach from the various chapter volunteers so that people are aware that we actually have this wonderful trail in Wisconsin. So the volunteers are just invaluable.
You know, certainly keeping trails up, that is demanding work. It is time-consuming. It can be tedious, very hard, laborious work. You know, is there a certain kind of person who is really attracted to that type of volunteerism?
Well, you know, it's as far as, you know, people just giving back. And sometimes it's like something totally different than what they've ever done before. And so it's just like a challenge. Like, yeah, I think I'd like to do that. I'd like to go ahead and learn how to do some tread work, use a McLeod or a Pulaski, and, you know, terms for tools that they never heard of before. And there's just a sense of just pleasure and accomplishment that when you're out there and you're working on a trail and you see before you kind of the before picture, and then you're out there working, and then you stand back and you see the afterwards, the after picture, and just the sense of accomplishment. And you're just proud that, wow, I was part of this. Mm. And it's interesting, but there's a lot of people that become volunteers, and they want to, like, work on the trail, but they've really never done that type of work before.
Yes.
But it is something that they would like to do. It's just like, well, I'm sure I can do this, and I'd like to be part of it. Mm-hmm. So it's just the enthusiasm that's out there from the volunteers is just heartwarming.
We're talking with Debbie Krogwold, who is volunteer coordinator of the Portage Waupaca County chapter of the Ice Age Trail Alliance. Perhaps you are a volunteer in your part of the state for the trail. Join in your experiences, 800-642-1234. Debbie, you were named the Ice Age Trail Alliance's Spirit Stick Steward for this year. What does that honor mean to you?
Well, it was quite a shock. It was just so humbling to be included among the volunteers that have gone before me that had received this award. The award was initially given in 2000. It was the first, and so I would be the 22nd
mm-hmm.
Receiver, and I know all of the people that have received that, because I had become a volunteer back in the 90s. And some of the recipients have since passed. And so carrying this stick when I go out, and it has accompanied me already on our spring wildflower hike last Sunday. But just knowing that these people are actually walking with me, and to go ahead and show this to the people that are with me, and kind of to let them know what the story is behind the spirit stick, and that it represents kind of the wood spirit and the caretaker of the forest and all natural things. It's quite an honor. Beautiful. It's just beautiful.
You carry that volunteerism with you, and with so many people who are working on the trails through this stick. That is really, really so beautiful. Can you explain the Trail Angels program and how it operates? Who are the Trail Angels?
Oh boy, that's just a wonderful program that was initiated by a longtime volunteer with the Alliance. Sharon Zingel, and she actually is one of the spirit stick holders too, years ago. Mm. But what this is that we are experiencing more and more people wanting to hike the entire 1,200-mile trail. And some of these people actually through hike, where they start at the beginning and go to the end all at once. But the majority of the people kind of section hike. And so the Trail Angels are volunteers with all the chapters across the state, and they offer their services of a shuttle, or if the hiker might need some water or something, or perhaps even a place to stay. A lot of the Trail Angels will offer their home to have, you know, the hiker stay in, if that's available, or camping on their property. So it enables the people who are, say, section hiking, be able to come. If they only have one car, they will park at one of the trailheads and say they want to hike, like, you know, 15 miles that day. So then the Trail Angel will meet them where they park the car, and then take them, say, 20 miles down to the, you know, next trailhead. So then the people can walk back to their car, and then they don't have to walk in and out. So this is a way that, you know, the volunteers, the Trail Angels, meet these people who are hiking the trail, and to just, you know, sometimes they will actually walk with them too. So it's a wonderful program.
Debbie Krogwold is a volunteer coordinator of the Portage Waupaca County chapter of the Ice Age Trail Alliance. As we learn about the effort to maintain the trail, lead hikes, be trail angels, join in with how you connect with the Ice Age Trail. 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Debbie Krogwald here on the Ideas Network. We're discussing the volunteer spirit of the Ice Age Trail Alliance on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is the 1,000-mile hiking trail that's entirely in Wisconsin. The Ice Age Trail following the edge of the most recent glacier to retreat from the state. Perhaps you've done segments or you're planning that once-in-a-lifetime bucket list challenging through hike. Last year, 83 people from 7 states achieved the 1,000-miler status. Join in on the trail and your connection to it, 800-642-1234. Debbie Krogwald is volunteer coordinator of the Portage Waupaca County chapter of the Ice Age Trail Alliance with us for about 10 more minutes. Debbie, I want to ask you about creating an entire trail. And what I mean is like turning these handshake agreements from landowners into permanently protected property through easements. And that was the case, I understand, for your family in the New Hope, Iola ski hill segment. Can you talk about the importance of these land agreements?
Yes. The trail wouldn't be where it is right now without the support of private landowners. There's quite a bit of the trail that actually is on public lands, but there's a lot of the trail that also crosses private property. And the majority of, there's still quite a few handshake agreements, because that is how that all kind of came to be initially. Mm. We had handshake agreements along the trail on property. And, as we go through the years, there's a possibility of, land changing hands and then possibly losing that connection there. And so I know that the Alliance is looking at, or has been, and that's the approach now, is to try and protect the trail that is on private lands through easements or through, direct purchase. Mm-hmm. And the Alliance is definitely in a position, to be able to accomplish that. It's a very they do look at property that might be available for sale where the trail is on, and a lot of times the landowners will contact the Alliance and say, okay, we're going to be probably selling our portion of property here that the trail is on, would you be interested in that? Mm-hmm. So that is how the Alliance finds out about this, and that is the property that we had that we were looking to sell, and we contacted the Alliance first because the trail is on our property and wanting to protect the trail. Mm. And then the Alliance, they have a appraiser.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Appraiser that comes out and checks things out and able to meet the asking price without a problem. And then we were able to sell it, and as well as an easement to the Alliance. So we're just really, really happy to be able to protect the trail.
And that sounds like it's really coming together across the trail. The 2021 being the most prolific year of land protection in 3 decades with 9 properties across the state. Let's take a call now. Michael joining us from Spring Green. Hi, Michael.
Good morning. What a beautiful day to go for a walk.
Oh, indeed.
My question is this, that often when I'm driving through our wonderful state, I wish that I knew where I was in terms of the history, the geological history of the place. And I was wondering if your guest has any information about online types of applications that are related to the Ice Age Trail, so that if one were at a particular location, you might be able to get a bigger picture of the geologic history of that area.
Michael, thank you. Debbie?
Okay, as far as I know that there is a trail app that the Alliance has, and Guthook is the name of that, that actually shows the trail that goes through the through the entire state as far as showing where you are. And there is a companion guide to the Atlas. The Atlas is actually a publication that you can get online, or you can purchase as a paper copy. And then the companion guide describes each of the areas as far as the geology, what you're going to, the type of terrain you're going to be hiking through. And so I would say that the companion guide would be the best
resource for understanding the geological formations. And I would imagine reaching out to the Ice Age Trail Alliance would be a good starting point there as well.
Yes, yes, definitely. And because the webpage for the Alliance is superb, and so I definitely would go that route as well.
Michael, thank you for the call. Chris now in Shorewood. Hi, Chris. What is your story?
Hello.
Hi.
Well, my story is rather important, I think. My husband, Fritz Schmidt, who started the Milwaukee magazine when it was Let's See, he also was on the three-man board that created the Ice Age Trail. And I have a huge picture of all of these who signed it, that when he was still living, he wanted to give this to some place where it could be on display as the history of the Ice Age Trail. And he then went on to have the conservancy. We're part of the Mississippi Nature Conservancy. And again, if you want to save the water, that's the Driftless area. And we have to all fight to keep that big pig farm from polluting the Kickapoo River. It's in great danger. And I know that when I stop talking, I won't get another chance. So I must tell you that Fritz wanted so much that this country, this state of ours, is so beautiful. And he worked very hard and had so many articles in the Let's See magazine that went on to be the Milwaukee magazine. And he knew Robert Frost when he was a little kid. When he was 17 at Eau Claire University. And they have his collection of books now. And it's because we need to fight very hard to keep our natural resources in this state.
And Chris, it sounds like you have historical artifacts relating to the Ice Age Trail. Debbie, what do you make of that and the roots of the Ice Age Trail in the 50s?
Well, I mean, as far as anything that goes back that far as just the initial idea and the start of that, any artifacts that people might have that they feel is kind of important to definitely preserve, to contact the Alliance. Mm. And because they are archiving various, you know, our artifacts and just the paperwork and everything that goes way back to. So it's very important, yes, to contact them.
Chris, thank you for those stories. We're talking with Debbie Krogwald, who's a nearly 30-year volunteer with the Ice Age Trail Alliance in Waupaca County. You can join in 800-642-1234. So, Debbie, you are most familiar with the segments within Portage and Waupaca counties, very familiar, in fact. What are a few must-see pieces of the trail that you really want to speak to?
Okay, boy, I want to say, you know, all of it.
Do you have a favorite child?
Right, I know, but I do know that the Skunk Foster State Natural Area is very, very pristine, and, you know, as far as for viewing wildflowers and then just the topography, the kettles, you know, the moraines, it's just gorgeous, the topography differences. And I know that Hartman Creek State Park is just phenomenal as well for a state park, and that walks along the moraine. And I know that the sections up here where I live, north of Iola, oh, we've got some just the hummocky, just the ups and downs, and the kettles, and oh my gosh, it's just beautiful. And I just want to go ahead and say that probably my favorite time of the year to hike would be early spring or in the fall, and for sure in the winter time when the leaves are off the trees, because you can really see the differences in elevation and the formations that were left behind by the glacier. So I guess my least favorite, I don't mind hiking in the summer, but usually it's really hot and mosquitoes. But the spring, the fall, and the winter are just so wonderful.
Oh, seeing the trail through the seasons of life. Debbie, thank you for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure.
Debbie Krogwald, volunteer coordinator of the Portage Waupaca County chapter of the Ice Age Trail Alliance. And ahead, our conversation about the Ice Age Trail continues with a through hiker. Emily Ford is here, who is the subject of a new documentary about her record-setting 1,200-mile hike. Join in on the Ice Age Trail, 800-642-1234. You might be on the trail. News update is next. Stay with us on the Ideas Network. We're talking about the love of the Ice Age Trail on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. So when I think of the Ice Age Trail, I think of Emily Ford. For sure, the depths of winter, 1,200-mile trek last year with her trusty Husky Diggins, so photogenic, inspired people from all walks of life and brought worldwide attention to why representation matters in the great outdoors. Stunning documentary called Breaking Trail tells of her remarkable journey. Here's a voice from the trailer.
When she told me that she was going to be the first woman to hike the Ice Age Trail, the first Black person, I know like a lot of people are concerned about her.
Join in the conversation with Emily, 800-642-1234. Emily Ford, head gardener for the Historic House Museum Glen Sheen in Duluth, in winter months transforms into an outdoor adventurer, long-distance backpacker, cross-country skier. Emily, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much for having me back. It's a little bit warmer this time.
It's a little bit warmer than February day 58 when we last talked with you.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But your life has been totally changed by this journey you had. And I'm just wondering, now that you're over a year away from it, how it feels to be known for this. I mean, you're really known for this.
Yeah, I mean, it feels pretty good. I'm really excited and happy to support and help support the Ice Age Trail. And that was one of the things I didn't know, like going into the trip right off the go, is that like so many people,
Debbie,
with Debbie. And I mean, so I went to their conference, like a month
Stevens
ago or
Point,
whatever.
Yes.
It's Stevens Point. And like, it was amazing to see all of these people show up for the Ice Age Trail. And like, they're so in love with it. So like, it's so cool to kind of be on their wavelength and like, kind of like, help push this trail along. It's awesome.
It's funny because I happened to be at that same hotel that weekend in Point, and I walked by your conference room as you were presenting, and I told my kids, I'm like, there's Emily. And they're like, Mom. Awesome. So yes, I was in the aura, the spirit there. Well, what about the documentary Breaking Trail? This is gorgeous, absolutely stunning documentary. What is it like to be the focus of that film?
I mean, Jesse did such a good job, you know, and like, I mean, and he and I talk quite a bit about how there can be really good topics, and it's hard, it can still be hard to make a great documentary. And I think that he just did a fantastic job of taking a great story and making a great documentary with it. It's beautiful, right? And I mean, I don't know anybody that's like really had a dry eye after watching it, including myself. I like still cry when I watch it. And so it's pretty cool. You know, I had to get used to seeing myself on a screen, on a very big screen. But we're getting there, maybe. I don't know if I'll ever get used to it.
How did they go about filming you in these shots of, you know, that they used for the film? What was it like for those photographers to be on the trail with you?
So you're saying plural photographer. It was one person.
Literally
just Jesse. And he would meet me. He would just we would stay connected and he would meet me at different parts on the trail. But the first day that we met, and we're like kind of getting to know each other a little bit, he like had all this cool new equipment and all this stuff. And it was so cold outside that none of his new equipment wanted to work. So some of the shots in the film are shot on just an iPhone.
Wow. Wow.
Right? Yeah. By one person.
So there's no audio crew and, you know, video crew. It was just one person out there with some technology cooperating and some that didn't.
Exactly.
Was that kind of the case for you as well as you went along? I know that you had started with a sled for gear, but you ditched it and just went with your 60 some pound backpack. Do you think that was a good decision in the end?
Oh my gosh, yes. Oh my gosh, I would have been, oh God. So after the trip I just took this past winter, yes, I'm so glad I left that sled behind. I would have been so frustrated. I probably would have like thrown in front of like a semi truck so that the semi truck would run over it.
Why is a sled so cumbersome?
On that trail, it's cumbersome because there's a lot of road walking that still happens on that trail. And it's hard to kind of maneuver around. I also didn't have a very good sled. This year I had a sled sponsor, which was amazing. But that year I did not, and it wasn't cooperating.
We're going to get to your more recent trek, but I want to just ask you about diversity on the trail. I mean, you had mentioned that through your time backpacking, you never really met another person of color backpacking or skiing or mountain biking. How does that make you feel?
You know, I don't think I really felt the weight of it until I really started thinking about it on the Ice Age Trail and kind of really diving into, you know, racial justice and social justice on the trail. And the more I thought about it, I was like, wow, I have just like oddly accepted this, I guess, you know, and I don't want to just accept it. You know, I don't want to just mill about like, this is how it is, I guess, you know. And, you know, I saw Tara, I saw on the Ice Age Trail. She's a woman of color. And I met one dude who was of Asian descent. And other than that, yeah, everybody else was white. And I think when I do meet other people of color, I get so stoked, like, just because I'm like, yes, like we're doing the darn thing, all of us together, even if it feels normal, right? So, you know, lots of people who are, you know, outdoor recreationalists, it's like, not all of us are out there trying to make a statement. A lot of us just do it because we just like to be outside. And I love meeting people of all different like minorities, even if it's like a physical minority, right? Mm. Like, I'm just like, you're just doing this not because you're like, oh, I don't have legs and like, I want to make a statement. Like people, if you're wheeling around out there, they're like, I just love being outside and I don't want to let anything stop me. Mm. And like, you know, in the film, I hope that's kind of what comes across, that like, I have this belief that the outdoors is for everybody. You know, unabashedly, you know, nature doesn't really ever judge you. And so when I do see people, I'm like, yeah, you're just out here for fun. And that is the best part. That's what the outdoors is for, to have fun. I love that.
Regardless of your background, regardless of your ability or where you come from.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Emily Ford with us, avid backpacker, winter adventure. When she's not doing that, head gardener at the Historic House Museum, Glen Sheen in Duluth. You can join in on the Ice Age Trail, what it means to you, questions about segments, questions about what to load in your backpack, 800-642-1234. When you talk about doing the darn thing and just getting out there, I'm also thinking of your companion, Diggins, and just the pictures of Diggins absolutely melts my heart. What has that evolution been like and your bond with Diggins? Explain this husky for us.
Oh, she's so great. So now she's 4 years old. And she's mostly, if you haven't seen her, she's mostly all black with white paw tips and like a little bit of white on her chest. She's very big pointy ears. And she is so cute and so cuddly once she warms up to you. And she is, for how little, she weighs about 45 pounds. And for how little she is, she's so strong. I mean, so unbelievably strong. We go bike during almost every morning during the weekday, and we can just like rip down the road, and it's mostly I pedal, but it's mostly her just like, you know, flying down the streets of Duluth.
And they and can then, get know, she, mighty hilly.
yeah. And she just keeps cooking, and it's crazy. And I'm so thankful to have her. Like, she's such a delight. She's such a delight to have in the house. It's a crazy.
It was so remarkable at the end of your journey how badly that separation would have been from Diggins, giving her back. And what was it like for you to be able to keep her?
Yeah, it was really difficult. And, you know, and the thing that people don't really think about for through hikers, especially, is what happens after. A lot of through hikers hit what people call the post-hike blues, and which is just a fluffy term for depression, really. Mm. And, you know, you're living this awesome life on the trail, and then you get off and you're like, oh, you like have a weird existential crisis of like, who am I? And I didn't have Diggins for the first couple months of being home. And it was like, who am I? And my best friend is gone, and I don't want to do anything. And it was crazy. And then just this idea of being able to have her, and her handler just let her have us let me have her for free. Mm. You know, she said, she's like, you know, I see such a bond between the two of you. She's like, we feel like it would be so inappropriate for us to even ask for money for her. And I'm like, this is changing. I know that this is changing my life, because then, right, I took her in the Boundary Waters, and again, I just got to see a whole different side of her, you know, this like entirely like new strength and new like goofy side. And it sounds like I'm talking about a human being. I understand, like, if someone just tunes in, like, oh, that must be like her best friend. It's like, yeah, but it's a dog, you know? And yeah, it's crazy. I'm so thankful.
That's so beautiful. You know, there's another question you get that comes from little kids and wondering if you ever get bored while you're hiking, and how do you shake the boredom and stay present on your hikes?
I love it. There's one little kid in particular that asked me that. He's like, do you ever get bored? I'm like, yes. Yes, of course I get bored. What else is there to do out there? And I sing a lot. I'll talk to Diggins and I sing a lot. It's not great singing, but it works. I also will over-explain celebrities to Diggins. Like, I will like choose somebody. And like, I really had Adele on my mind on the Ice Age Trail. And I like just over-explained who Adele was to Diggins, like ad nauseum. It's just like, your brain will find something to do, you know?
Oh my goodness. Emily Ford, Ice Age Trail through hiker, winter adventure, and showing the world why representation matters in the outdoors. Join in on how you found yourself in greater meaning on the trail or through challenging wilderness adventures. 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Emily Ford here on the Ideas Network.
In these waters, but I can't bring myself to swim when I am drowning in this silence, baby, let me in.
It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. What a pleasure to reconnect with history-making Ice Age Trail winter through hiker Emily Ford. The documentary film about her inspiring journey called Breaking Trail is making rounds at film festivals, screened yesterday at the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Film Festival, screenings Wednesday at Martha's Vineyard Film Festival, if you happen to be in Massachusetts, later this month at Mountain Film and Telluride. Join in on the Ice Age Trail or how an outdoor adventure changed your life or way of thinking about the world. 800-642-1234. Emily Ford with us for about 10 more minutes. Emily, take us to your most recent adventure. This winter, you did this ski trek along the Minnesota-Ontario border in the Boundary Waters canoe area. How was that?
Oh, it was amazing. I mean, the Boundary Waters is such an incredible place, and especially in the winter. Mm. I'm really partial to the winter, I think, is what's happening to me. But I mean, it's so quiet and like so crisp. It was also one of the hardest trips that I've taken so far. it was, you know, there's nobody really out there. I met a few mushers out there, but it was quite different than the Ice Age Trail. There's just Diggins and I again skiing across. But it was so magical. It was, yeah. I have so many thoughts on it still, and I don't know exactly how to always articulate them.
You were skiing, skijoring, snowshoeing. Mm-hmm. I mean, just trying to make your way across, northwestern Minnesota, across to Lake Superior. What was that like for the terrain and what you were encountering out there?
Yeah, no snowshoes.
Okay.
It's okay. So when I hit the portages, I would try to ski them or try to, you know, boot it across. And the portages were the hardest part, right? The snow would be so deep on the portages, it would be like up to my butt. And so I would have to ski ahead and leave Diggins and the sled behind, and then ski back and widen the path, and then ski with the, with Diggins and the sled. And so like we did portages, I tripled my mileage based on just with the portages pretty much. It was kind of crazy. Lots of people I think already know, but I fell through the ice one night. I was just like, I was super tired, and I made a silly decision to walk on thin ice with just my boots, and, spent the rest of the night, drying out my clothes, by a fire, and just learning, learning my limits and learning how far I can push myself, and learning Diggins' limits and how far to push her as well. Learning how to read the ice, learning how to deal with slush. Slush was huge on the lakes. But then learning a lot of gratitude. I learned really quickly that having gratitude for even the smallest things really made my day worth it and really helped with my mental health. Like anything could be anything. 3 seconds of sunlight, gratitude. Like the wind dies down for 2 minutes, gratitude. Like I just was thanking everything as I was going along, and it changed my entire outlook on life, but also just my outlook there.
I imagine Diggins also had to be very trusting of you. And certainly as you went to blaze a path, and then, you going out of sight and leaving Diggins behind, and then you returning, that must have been very difficult for her.
Oh, I asked her to come with me. I was like, "Do you want to come with?" And she would hop on top of the sled and curl up in her little husky ball and then fall asleep.
Okay.
While I'm ahead doing all the work. So I hear what you're saying, but it's not true.
All right. Okay.
She's so stubborn. I'm like, fine. Don't worry. I got this covered.
She's like, I'm all there for your mental health though. And I'll be with you. And I can pull sometimes here as well.
Yes, exactly.
With skijoring, which you're on skis and then pulled by Diggins, is that right?
Yeah. And on this trip, we ended up hitting so much slush that she got really scared on some of the ice areas because slush happens on top of the actual ice, mm-hmm. right? So if you fall through the slush, you're not actually falling into the lake or into the river.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't know that. So she actually she stopped pulling for a good chunk of the trip. I met a musher out there who did a resupply for me, and he was innovative and came up with this new idea where it was actually me skiing ahead, Diggins behind me, and then the sled, but Diggins was pulling the sled also.
Oh.
And that was really helpful.
So you kind of did a role reversal and you went ahead. So when you were out there and you said very desolate, not like you had trail angels along the way who you could text or call, did you feel like this was more isolating than the Ice Age Trail?
Oh, totally. Totally. It really gave me insight to how I deal with myself on a daily basis in the real world, and like all these underlying feelings in my own mind. Because when you're by yourself, you just, I don't know, your brain just goes to crazy places. You think of funny things, you think of stupid things, and you're just trying to keep yourself occupied. You know, the human generally desires some sort of companionship with another human. It was totally different. On the Ice Age Trail, I would see people pert near every day.
Hmm.
yeah, not in the Boundary Waters, so.
Emily Ford with us, winter backpacker, head gardener for Glen Sheen, the historic mansion in Duluth. You can join in with your questions about taking these winter adventures, 800-642-1234. Emily, I'm wondering how it felt for you not to be able to finish, because you got to open water and you couldn't go any farther. What was that like mentally?
Two things happened. I hit that water in like a lot of pressure just like released from my body. I felt that it was right for me to end at that portage, and not to fight and not try to fight the river down the way and try to bushwhack my whole way through there. The worst part was that I had to do this gnarly portage again. It was the hardest portage I had done the entire trip. And now that there was no other way out but to do it again to get off of it. And it was great. And I like through this, like I met like new people because I got a ride off the trail and like spent a night like with new friends, and it was awesome. Mm. And there's this thing, you know, about being an adventurer, right? I'm never out there to try to conquer nature at all. I'm there to experience it and kind of be a part of it. And when you get that feeling that it's time just to be done and it's okay. I finished where I needed to finish. I had skied the whole Boundary Waters. South Fowl is outside of the Boundary Waters. It felt very right. And I think people outside of my life are a lot more sad about it than I am, which is really funny. But I feel very good about it.
Would you give us a glimpse on what your next adventure might be?
It's a secret.
Oh, God.
It's a secret.
But you're putting it together.
yes. I don't think this winter will be kind of quiet. The winter after, though, I think we'll be going back to hiking.
Mm, okay.
A trail that's well known. But in the winter, but it's nothing official yet.
Okay. So we only have a few seconds left and this is lightning round. What was your favorite energy bar along the trail?
Green Belly bars. I just found them and they're delicious.
What was Diggin's favorite treat on the trail?
Meat sticks.
Could you get Diggin's to do more things with a meat stick?
Oh yes, and Pringles. We ate one can of Pringles every day.
Oh, Emily, thank you so much for joining us. Happy trails.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Emily Ford, head gardener at Glen Sheen Mansion on the shores of Lake Superior in Duluth, in March of last year, completed a record-setting winter-through hike of the 1,200-mile Ice Age Trail, becoming the first woman, first person of color to tackle this feat. Earlier, we had Ice Age Trail Alliance volunteer Debbie Krogwald. You can find a link to the Ice Age Trail Alliance at wpr.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.